TV.
Martin Sanders here, voted the world's most outspoken Bible scholar by 4 out of 5 theologians worldwide. Don't know what happened with the 5th theologian. He had an agenda, obviously. Didn't quite grasp the nature of the work, but that's okay. My goal is to win that 5th theologian, so I can say it, 5 out of 5 theologians. But until that day, I will strive toward the goal, toward the high calling of grabbing that 5th theologian. I am Martin Zen. Welcome to the show. I want to thank Bud and Rhonda Alley. This is a really belated thank you. I was in Lima, Peru, when the package came to Ohio with some mixed nuts, beautiful nuts, actually. Nuts for nut, and they sent me a bottle of Crown Royal, Canadian blended whiskey, 30-year extra rare. I mean, this is amazing, and I just got it. I know you sent it a long time ago, Bud and Rhonda. I just got it. I also just read your letter. I will be responding personally. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the check of support. You're backing the right horse. I appreciate you and all those who have contributed and are contributing to the work. The work and the worker goes on, continues to announce the gospel and to expose and rebuke the lies of Christianity against our God. This work continues on because of all of you. And specifically today, a call out to Bud and Rhonda Alley. Thank you so much. I was shocked yesterday when Rodney Paris of Texas sent me the video that he was going to be publishing yesterday. It was, I believe this to be the first video ever made of me teaching. This was at my house in Greenwich, Ohio in 1995. I believe this to have been the spring, summer of 1995. And I couldn't believe how young I looked there, to tell you the truth. First, I wondered, who is that guy? Okay, yep, that's me, that's me. I look just like my son Paul does now. In fact, later in the video, you will see my 2-year-old son Paul walking into the room. He might be 2 and a half by this time. Maybe he's 3. He's walking into the room to grab a pretzel out of a bowl. You gotta see this whole video. Kelly, my sister Kelly, at headquarters in Canton, Ohio. And by the way, Rhonda and Bud, the reason I just got this is because Kelly had to ship it from Canton to here, and so everything is delayed. I apologize for that. But Kelly links that video down here today. If you haven't seen it, it's worth it. Talking about Israel's expectation in that it is terrestrial, but ours is celestial. You're going to love that. And like I say, I've been doing this for a long time, and every single day it's been a work of grace and a corporate work, a work of people. God putting it on the hearts of people to keep this work going. And extravagances, like 30-year Canadian blended whiskey. Every once in a while, extravagance like that is just like God. Just like God. I've learned how to abound and to be abased, both. Paul said he learned this also. And let's say I've been doing this work for a long time, and it's easy for those outside who don't understand it, who don't do it, to criticize it. And I am a public figure, and so I am subject to criticism, and I accept that. But when it's personal, that's when it really bothers me, and it really shows the caliber of the critic who would make it personal, and I don't appreciate that. But anyway, let's talk about, first of all, I wanted to explain to you why I do what I do. The whole conversation over this past couple weeks has been about the allotment, about receiving awards at the dais. And we have a subscriber and a brother named Wild Boar, who I know and love. And he and I could go out for a beer tomorrow. We could go fisticuffs and then have a beer tomorrow. So we have no problems. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just the way brothers act sometimes. But he thinks he knows what the mentality of a person in pursuit of the high calling is. And he proves by his description of it that he has no idea. And so I'm going to tell you why I do what I do. Wild Boar thinks he knows I do why. He knows why I do what I do, but he doesn't. So I'm going to explain that. It gives me an opportunity to explain it. Most of these criticisms are really helpful because they give me an opportunity to expand upon the truth or to expand upon something that illuminates the work and that helps you understand your calling and why you do what you do. So Wild Boar asked the question, why do you put your face on your Romans series? Like, why are you so out there? Why are you so personally in your books? And really, I'm personally in all my works. I throw my personality into it. And it was a great day, as I shared with you last week, when I realized I was allowed to do that. And that I was a new creation, and I didn't have to worry about the pronoun I anymore, because it was a new I. Living in me is Christ, so I could celebrate who God made me. And the Romans series, volume one, has been published. Seth Vollenkamp has pretty much 100% typeset volumes 2, 3, and 4. And I showed you the covers, and I'm on the cover of every book because I am crossing a frontier. And this is what happens to people who try something new, try something that's never been done before. And what I am doing has never been done before. And so anybody who's doing that will just be ripe for criticism. And it's expected because it's a bold, very bold work. If I saw a book that said Billy Bob Jones on the book of Romans, and there was a picture of a guy on the cover with two teeth, smiling with two teeth, Billy Bob Jones on the book of Romans, you would have to pick it up. You would have to pick it up. And you would expect it to be garbage, or just like, who the hell does this guy think he is? Then you start reading, and you realize, oh my God, the scholarship in this book is amazing. And then the more you read, the more you realize that you're reading a world-class writer. And then you look at the cover again, like Billy Bob Jones. And so it is unique. The Roman series is unique. There's never been a commentary on Romans written like this. George Rogers from the Concordant Publishing Concern wrote a commentary on Romans, but did not understand Romans chapter 6. Thought it was Paul encouraging people not to sin. Missed it completely. I read that book and I loved it, but when I got to his commentary on chapter 6, I couldn't believe it. Enoch wrote a commentary on the whole New Testament, but Romans is just a little sliver. Knock gets it. Knock gets the whole thing. Rogers did not. Enoch does. Martin Luther wrote a commentary on Romans several years ago now, and yet how can anybody write a commentary on Romans who does not understand the two Gospels or the salvation of all? So this is a rare series. It's very rare. And again, I am rejoicing, learn to rejoice in who God made me. And so I put my face on I boldly did it purposely, just to shock people for the shock value. You know, the people I always looked up to, like the Beatles or Rush Limbaugh, or just these vivacious personalities, Cher, Lady Gaga, Elton John, flamboyant, they're so Liberace, they're so out there, these people. And they're making a splash. And I do that not to bring attention to myself, but to bring attention to the work, to shock people out of their complacency. It is a bold, bold attempt. And anyone picking it up, and you almost have to pick it up, really, I think. Like, what? I mean, what would Wild Boar want me to do? Put a Christian cover on it? A picture of a beautiful hillside with daffodils growing? Does he want me to put a cover that suggests it's published by Zondervan or Thomas Nelson Publishers? Really? So there's two ways I could go. I could write a Christian-y book and put a unique, daring a cover on it, or I could write a book on the truth, mature spiritual truth. And instead of putting a cross on the cover or a beautiful meadow or a daffodil or a rose or a picture of the Apostle Paul or a picture of Jesus, or I put my picture on it, right looking at you, drinking a whiskey and smoking a cigarette. It's a frontier. I'm daring. I'm a pioneer. I'm pioneering wild boar. That's why I'm going to get criticized. But my goal is to, and I do believe that when all four volumes are out, this series could be picked up by a major publisher. That's, and again, my hopes and dreams of being a best-selling author, screw that. All of it, it's not even in play here. Just so you know. Wild Boar and Aaron Seamster both made personal attacks on me, which I don't think is a good idea. But let me tell you, I want to apologize to Aaron Seamster because I suggested, because he seemed to hate this reward system, the fact that he hated anybody getting more than somebody else in the body of Christ, and he seemed to hate inequality, I suggested that it seemed like he's a communist. And listen, I apologize for that, Aaron. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even suggested that you were that. And if, I mean, it's up to you to defend yourself against, you know, jerks like me who say something like that. So that was uncalled for. I apologize for it. I didn't say he was. I just said, are you a communist? I asked the question because I couldn't think of any other motivation. I really shouldn't play armchair psychologist. But I will compliment Aaron this way. Aaron seems to say that he's in the arena. And I respect that. He's in the arena doing something. My advice to Aaron Seamster would be just don't be so obvious about your agenda. If you have a personal agenda in the scriptures, you can't be as obvious as you are, as you were, by changing words. Like when Paul says that we will all be getting applause from God and then saying that, well, when Paul says applause, he means the opposite of applause. You can't do that. I don't recommend having an agenda at all. But if you have one, be more subtle about it. And when Paul says that there must be sects among you, that those who are qualified might be becoming apparent, and then you say, when Paul says qualified, he means self-righteous pricks. You can't do that because we'll never trust you again. I can't trust you again. It's you can't do it. Just like when Clyde says that when Paul says we shall not all be put to repose, he doesn't mean it. Clyde writes a book called We All Have to Die. We All Must Die. So you can't trust him again. And Aaron Welch, I loved reading Aaron Welch. Then he made the most outrageous statement by saying that when Christ, he doesn't believe in the preexistence of Christ, he said when Christ took the form of humanity, when did he take the form of humanity? Obviously, is when he descended from heaven, took the form of humanity. Aaron Welch says, well, he didn't take the form of humanity until his public ministry began. When somebody says something like that, you can't trust him anymore. You're done. So you have to be very careful because it makes it obvious that you have an agenda, that you have a predisposition. But again, you are in the arena, Aaron, and I respect that. And I'm sorry I suggested you were a communist. I take it back. You're not, right? Did you deny it? I think somebody told me that you're not. Thank God. Okay, I apologize for even suggesting it. But I will say to both Aaron and Wild Boar that let's not make any personal attacks on people. Let's keep it having to do with the scriptures. And I want to read the famous quote now, if I may. I want to read the famous quote from Teddy Roosevelt. This is concerning these keyboard warriors who haven't written books, haven't made videos, haven't done anything to promote the truth except be a keyboard warrior. And they criticize those in the arena who are doing something, who are daring boldly to do something different. And you're probably familiar with this quote from Theodore Roosevelt. And this is really against those keyboard warriors who have one hand in a bowl of popcorn and one hand on the keyboard, criticizing those who are at least trying to do great things to get the word out. It is not the critic who counts, Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Theodore Roosevelt. So, Aaron, you're in the field, man, and I appreciate that. You're in the war. You're daring greatly. And so I want to encourage you to keep doing that, actually. Just don't do what you just did with the scriptures. You can't do that. It becomes too obvious. So this is instructive. What I'm about to do is instructive, or I wouldn't do it. And it made me think of, why do I do what I do? Wild Boar, my friend from Ohio, thinks he knows why I do what I do. And so he's kind of like, he's doing to me what I did to Aaron. And I'm apologizing to Aaron. And I hope that Wild Boar will apologize to me for what he's about to say, because he has no clue why anyone is pursuing the high calling. And I had to ask myself after reading this, thank you, Wild Boar. Really, after reading this, I had to look at my own motives, but I know why I don't do it, and this is why. Wild Boar had a comment on my video called "The Rewards Allotment Teaching Mentality." He said, "The rewards / allotment teaching mentality is essentially this, and what follows is completely wrong." He has no idea what it is, but this is what he thinks it is. Are you ready? And this is helpful. "Oh Christ, thank you for saving me at the cross, but to improve my aeonian salvation, I must work, work, work. I know you get the credit for working in me, just like the Catholics say with eternal salvation that comes by faith and works, but practically speaking, I am obsessed with my works. All the days of my life, rather than rejoicing in the cross, I want a really, really good allotment, and so I know that I must work for it. Thank you for the cross, but again, my works will make my aeonian salvation so much better." That's his idea of what it is, which is all that is a cartoon. And it's up to me to defend the disposition. Just like it's up to Aaron when somebody says something stupid like, "Are you a communist?" to defend himself. No, I'm not a communist. We teachers, we people in the public arena, we need to defend ourselves. I think it's important. Some people think it's not, but I think it's important to set the record straight. Wild Boar then, after building the straw man, which is exactly what it is, says, "So ridiculous, so self-righteous, so contradictory, so deceitful." In another place, he said, "It stinks." Yeah, one hand on a keyboard, one hand in a bowl of popcorn, watching the sweaty, bloody gladiators in the field. This is what I said. I commented to him, I'm going to read my personal response, and then I'm going to go into the scriptures that I realized explain perfectly why I do what I do, why I'm pursuing the high calling. I said, "You're wrong on all these counts, which tells me you've never experienced the wonderment of true works when you just are and you just do." I'm going to expand on this after I finish reading my public statement. "I must work, work, work. I'm not sure where this is coming from, but as for me, I never think this. I never think I must work, work, work." He also said, "I'm obsessed with my works." I can't even comprehend such a disposition, being obsessed with my works. "I work like a madman, yes, but I have never thought or felt this one time, that is being obsessed with my works." This tells me, Wild Boar, that you are not tapped into the truth of what Paul calls the calling above. Nothing against you, but strange and sad that you have plenty against those who are tapped into it, the high calling above, even while, as you are proving here, understanding literally nothing about it. I want a really, really good allotment. I never think this way. Can I use myself as an example here, Wild Boar, or is that vainglorious? Remember, he accused me of being, he suggested that I was vainglorious for wearing sunglasses. Suggested that I was. He didn't say I was. He did what I did to Aaron Seamster, which is why I feel bad what I did to Aaron Seamster, and I apologize for it. Then I say to Wild Boar, I'll try not to wear my sunglasses while writing this. You got the whole thing upside down, and you're proving it on the page. I work for Christ, and Christ only. Do your work as unto the Lord. And I'm going to quote this in a second. Do your work as unto the Lord. That is my passion, and that is the way I think. Rewards and an allotment are secondary. They're there, but they're secondary. My works, this is his quote again, my works will make my Aeonian life so much better. Again, I never think that. Intellectually, I know it to be true, but I never think it. When I start to wonder why I never think it, I realize that working as under the Lord precludes all preoccupation with rewards or a better resurrection. What you are doing, Wild Boar, is taking an Old Testament disposition of work slash rewards, and this is true. God gave me this vision into this. And if I'm wrong, Wild Boar, you can refute this. But what you're doing is you're taking an Old Testament disposition, like I must work, and you're transposing it onto the high calling that Paul talks about in Philippians, and you're saying that it's the same thing. You're cutting and pasting this work and reward fear thing from Leviticus. You're cutting and pasting it onto the high calling above in Christ Jesus. This is where you're missing it, because it's not the same thing. I wish I had explained it better to you, and I'm going to explain it better because I've been thinking about it all weekend. All I can tell you is you're missing it by a mile. I know you're missing it by a mile because I'm doing it, perhaps more than anyone in the body of Christ today. And I never think any of the things you are supposing slash imagining that evangelists slash teachers think about. I never think any of these things. Isn't it strange that I've been working ceaselessly in this evangel for 33 years, outstripping everyone, and I don't have any of the mentality you're speaking of here? You, on the other hand, have worked 0 years in the evangel, and you imagine that you understand the mentality perfectly. This may explain everything. That was the end of my public comment. Why I do it. Woody Allen claimed that he'd made movies just because he loved making movies. He never made movies to get an award. And when he won an Oscar for Annie Hall, he wasn't even there. He wasn't even in Los Angeles. He was in New York City. He got up in the morning, went and looked at the newspaper and saw that his movie, Annie Hall, this was like 1977, I think, had won the Oscar. But he doesn't work for awards. I do not work for awards. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. All whatsoever you may be doing, work from the soul as to the Lord and not to men. Being aware that from the Lord you will be getting the compensation. Compensation. I don't know how many, I didn't even see this verse before. I don't know how many verses we have to go to show that there is compensation for work. And while Aaron Seamster may never believe that, I pray that he stops twisting scripture so badly to support the fact that he doesn't know anything about it. And quit with the junk sublinears. Use the concordant, but you couldn't because the concordant didn't align with your supposition. Okay? Been through that. Being aware that from the Lord you will be getting the compensation of what? Of the enjoyment of an allotment. Oh, this is what Volley Life, Ashley, and what these two gentlemen hate so badly, doubt so badly, even though it's obviously in the scripture. Here it is again. You will be getting the compensation of the allotment, of the enjoyment of the allotment. For the Lord Christ are you slaving. And there it is. For the Lord Christ you are slaving. You're not slaving for the allotment. You're not slaving for the prize. You're not slaving for the wreath. You're slaving for the Lord Christ. And that is, I realized, that's it, man. That's it. I'm slaving for the Lord Christ. It delights your Father. This is a transadministrational truth. He says this in Luke 12, verse 32. It delights your Father to give you the kingdom. And there's the thing. God plainly lays out in Luke and through Paul, when he talks about in Ephesians, it's for the joy of God. It's God's pleasure to do this for us. Ephesians chapter 1, if I can go there real quickly at the end of this show, in accord with the delight, verse 5, chapter 1 in Ephesians, in accord with the delight of his will. It's the delight of God's will to give us the kingdom. It's the delight of God's will to give the allotment, the enjoyment of the allotment, to give, as Paul says, the compensation. Salvation, again, salvation is not compensation, is it? Not even close. And so I don't work for awards. I realize that's it. So none of the things Wild Boar is saying, oh, I got to work, get my allotment. I want a better allotment. I want this, and I want that. And if I don't work, no, again, you're taking an Old Testament disposition, cutting and pasting, transposing it, putting it on the high calling above and saying, well, that's what these people are. Dude, it's not. I'm one of them. And you're not describing me at all. It's up to me to tell you that. You're not describing me at all, which tells me you're not doing this. You don't even know it exists. So how can you be on the path of the what Paul calls the high calling above in Christ Jesus? You're not on it. You don't want to do it. You're not doing it. You're not doing this work. You're not in the arena. You're not sweating. Aaron might be on it and not even know it. Aaron might be on it. You're not on it. Aaron might be on it and not even know. Wouldn't that be funny? I'd love to see it. Aaron gets to the dais of Christ and gets all kinds of awards for having the balls to make a video series, for having the balls to do it. Good for him. I'd love to see that. Just like I can't wait to see Clyde Pilkington snatched away. Woohoo! You didn't think this was going to happen, did you? Oh, guess you didn't die, dude. Love it. Can't wait. It'll be joyous. It'll be a little bit of a wink, like, huh? Well, that's all. Hey, I taught the right thing because I believed scripture. Don't fuck with the scriptures. Not so obviously, anyway. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 14, starting with, toward the goal I am pursuing, to the prize, not salvation, to the prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus. Here's verse 15. I hate to say this, Wild Boar, but I have to. I'm not saying it, Paul is. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. And if in anything you are differently disposed, which is you, you're totally differently disposed. You don't even understand it. You don't know it exists. So you're differently disposed. This also God will reveal to you. So God is revealing to you. No, he's not revealing it to you yet, or else you would at least acknowledge that, okay, Zender's going for it. Seamster's going for it and doesn't even know it. But Zender's definitely going for it. But now I find out Zender's not doing it for awards, not doing it for to win an Oscar, not doing it to be rich and famous. He's doing it as unto the Lord because he loves the Lord, and he finds out that it delights the Lord to give him all this treasure at the dais. It delights God to do it, and Zender's doing it for God's delight because God has announced that it's his thing and that he wants to do it, and he does do it. Whoever then are mature may be disposed of this. So I'm not saying that Wild Boar's not mature. Whoever then are mature may be disposed. So you could be mature and not be disposed to the high calling above. And then Paul says in verse 16, moreover, in what we outstrip others, that is, in what we exceed in zeal other people. Like, I exceed in zeal lots of other people. Maybe everyone. I exceed. In what we outstrip others, there is to be a mutual disposition. I'm not going to raise myself up like I'm some great thing. There is to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. So I observe the elements as though everyone's equal and everyone's going to get the same thing. That's the way I act. In fact, I treat you better. I treat you better than I treat myself because I follow this. A mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. But that is the disposition of people who know that they're kicking everyone else's ass. They know they're kicking everyone else's ass, but they esteem other people greater than themselves. That's the true mark. That's maturity. And that is the disposition of someone who is on the path, suited to, transcendence, which is not only love, but to be disposed to the prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus.